Man. Always good to share in the Lord's Supper. I have that wonderful reminder of the terrible yet glorious cost of our salvation. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew, the gospel, first book in the New Testament. Chapter 7. Our focus today is going to be verse 12, but I'm going to read verses 7 through 14. Jesus says, nearing the end of the Sermon on the Mount, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" And in our focal verse, "So, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Let's pray. Father, by your Spirit now, help us. By your Spirit, help me. We need these words. We need to live by these words, not just to know them, not just to think fondly of them in our minds, or to remember being taught them in Sunday school. But we need to live these words. These are your words, Lord Jesus, aptly suited, directly applied to your disciples as we seek to live in this world. So guide us today. Help us to know what it is you want us to do with regard to those around us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Back to school, back to the golden rule. This is the golden rule. How many of you have a Bible with that heading over verse 12? The golden rule. Does it say that? Okay. Now, when Jesus was giving the Sermon on the Mount, he didn't say, as he got to this particular statement, "All right, now listen up, everybody. I'm going to give you some solid gold. I'm going to give you a rule. It's so good. Let's just call it the golden rule." No, Jesus didn't call it the golden rule. Matthew didn't even call it the golden rule. So where did this term, the golden rule, come about? Well, it wasn't for about 1,500 or so more years that this term came into our consciousness. And that was in England in the early 1600s. Pastors and theologians began to drill down into the core of the Sermon on the Mount, into the gospel. They were reformed men. They had had their consciences stirred by the Holy Spirit for the prominence of God's Word. And as they began to study Jesus' teachings in great detail, they just couldn't escape the wisdom and the soundness and the simplicity and the straightforwardness of this one command. "Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." And so they just dubbed it the golden rule. It's a great summary, isn't it? of how we ought to treat others. Jesus has also said in the gospel something that sounded very similar. What's the greatest commandment? The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second commandment is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Right? And that comes straight out of the Old Covenant, out of the Old Testament. When Moses was giving God's law to the children of Israel, he summed it all up and he said, love the Lord your God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, He is one. Let's love the Lord our God with all our hearts. And Jesus said, this is what all of the Bible up till now, the Old Covenant, the Torah, and all the writings of the prophets, this is what they mean. We're to love God and we're to love others the way we want to be loved ourselves. Some have called it the law of reciprocity. And it's been found in somewhat similar form in other religions. Why is that, you ask? Well, I thought this was unique to Christianity. I thought this was a distinctly Christian command, something Jesus himself spoke and gave. Well, all people around the world were created in God's image. God made us all. And part of being created in God's image is being created with a sense of dignity. No matter how much we suppress it through sin and through rebellion, every human, I believe, on some level, very deep in some cases, have a sense of the dignity and the worth and the value of human life. Of course, we know that it does indeed get suppressed, doesn't it? People don't behave kindly towards their neighbors. People don't think about how they want to be treated when they treat other people meanly, murderously. Cain was the first murderer in the Bible, first son of Adam and Eve. He killed his brother. He did not think about this command of Jesus's, whatever you would wish that Abel would do to you, do to Abel. He didn't think about that. Thought about himself. Thought about what he wanted. Thought about the anger in his own heart. Jealousy that was there. His desire to be justified. And he killed. And so it shouldn't blow our minds that the Hindu religion, Islam, other religious traditions around the world have something that sounds similar to this. Because, again, no matter what creed you stamp over your door, everybody everywhere has some lingering sense of the dignity of people and that we ought to treat others the way we ourselves want to be treated. Some of those religious traditions word it in a negative way. Jesus words it very positively. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do to them. Some word it negatively. Whatever you don't want somebody to do to you, don't do that to them. But Jesus words it positively. And I want to just dig in here. We're talking about serving. We're talking about working and laboring. For the last several weeks, what does it mean to be a servant? What does it mean to labor for the Lord, to labor with the Lord in His kingdom cause in this world? And I think the golden rule is something very essential for us to have a right mindset as servants. It's to treat others the way we would want to be treated. Jesus' call upon the lives of His disciples is to a life of engagement. Not a life of estrangement from people, but a life of engagement with people, some of whom are going to be very much like us, some of whom are going to be very different from us, some of whom are going to be hospitable to our faith, some are going to be downright hostile to our faith. But nonetheless, Jesus has called us to live lives of radical engagement with others. And so we need some guidelines for how to do that in a way that honors Him, don't we? That's why Jesus gave us the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, you go all the way back to Matthew chapter 5, and Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount. He begins by laying out character qualities of those who are living for the kingdom of God and not for themselves. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who don't have too high opinion of themselves. If that's you, you're blessed. If that's you, can we agree you're probably kind of a rarity in the world to not have too high of an opinion of yourself? You're blessed. And Jesus goes on, he lays out those beatitudes and all the character qualities of living like Jesus in the world. Every one of those character qualities Jesus himself embodied and exampled for his people. And he goes on and he keeps giving all these instructions. He talks about divorce. He talks about taking oaths. He talks about anger. He talks about loving your enemies. Relational, relational, relational. The expectation overriding all of the Sermon on the Mount is you're going to engage with people. You're not going to colonize yourselves and just kind of become this little holy community living over here in the desert, cut off from everybody. No, I'm sending you into the world. When Jesus called his disciples, he didn't say, "Hey, come sit with me." No, what did he say? He said, "Come follow me. I'm taking you somewhere. We're going somewhere." It's a call to engage. It's a call to build relationships. And so as we do that, we need guidelines. And the golden rule sums up all of Jesus' relational teaching thus far. You know what? Those relationships are even going to include relationship with God. That's why we have the Lord's Prayer in chapter 6. We're called to not only relate to other humans, but we're called to relate to the One who made us and every other human in His image. So Jesus gives us instructions for how to pray, how to engage with God. Don't be anxious. Lay up treasures. I'm just reading some of the headings here. Judging others. At the beginning of chapter 7, judge not that you be not judged. So the golden rule. What is it? What is it? We're going to talk in just a minute about what it is. But first, I want to talk about what it's not. What isn't the golden rule? What is Jesus not teaching us in the golden rule? First of all, he's not giving us a Christianized version of karma. Okay? And you know what karma is? Karma, it's that Eastern Hindu idea of, well, just what goes around comes around. You know, so if I just send out enough good vibes and goodwill and good mojo out there in the world, man, eventually it'll come back to me. That's not what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying, you know, if you want Bailey to be nice to you, be nice to Bailey. And you better be nice to Bailey. Because if you're not nice to Bailey, she won't be nice to you back. That's not what Jesus is saying. Now, be nice to Bailey. You can be nice to Bailey. She's a nice person. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He's not saying this is something that you should do in order to get back good treatment from others. You shouldn't treat other people nice in order to be treated nice by them. That's not Christian karma. Neither is it a tool of manipulation. Well, my boss, you know, I really need a pay raise. I'd really like to get that promotion. So I'm going to be extra punctual. And I'm going to bring donuts every other day to work. And maybe if that doesn't work, I'll start bringing them every day. It's not about sending out goodwill directly to a certain individual who has something you want in order to get that thing that you want. That's not what Jesus is saying either. That's not what the golden rule is. Why do I say that? It's because Jesus never anywhere in here says if or then. He's not giving us some kind of conditional plan. If we'll just do this, then we'll get this. That's not what he's doing. And we need to be really mindful of that, because I'm afraid there are some Christians out there with that view of the golden rule. Well, or they're trying to be really nice to someone, but that person is not responding in kind to them. And so they get frustrated. Well, I'm living the golden rule. I'm doing what Jesus said. They've misunderstood the golden rule. Why? It's because Jesus didn't make it a conditional thing. If you'll do this, then you'll get this. It's not in there. Here's how I would summarize this sermon, just in a quick sentence, maybe hopefully a memorable one. The golden rule, like some of other Jesus's one-liners, you know, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, render unto the Lord that which is the Lord. That's a really memorable thing, isn't it? And how do we manage our money? Right over here in chapter 7, verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. Well, that's a great Jesus one-liner, man. We like to kind of collect those one-liners from Jesus. The golden rule is one of those. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. We like to kind of collect little Jesus sayings from the Gospels, don't we? And curate them. And kind of dust off our collection every now and then. There's a lot of wisdom in that saying of Jesus. Judge not that you be not judged. But do we live them? You see those commercials on TV for the gold coins, you know, those specially printed and limited edition and limited time. Get your Susan B. Anthony or whatever it is, you know, get your special edition gold. We kind of treat the golden rule and some of Jesus' other sayings kind of like these collectibles. Oh, that's good. That's a good Jesus one. But Jesus doesn't want us to see them as collectibles. He gave them to us as currency. I'm just going to theorize a little bit. I think that maybe is why those old-time preachers and theologians back in old England in the 1600s, I think that may be why they called it the golden rule. Gold was something you spent back then. You traded it. It was currency. Jesus, here's my one-liner for this sermon. Too many Christians misunderstand the golden rule and mistake it for a collectible when Jesus wants us to use it as currency. What does that mean? What is currency? It's something you spend. It's something you let go of. You invest it. Golden rule is relational gold. We're to invest it in people, but here's the thing that gets some people kind of messed up in our thinking. Jesus never said that if you do this, if you treat others the way you want to be treated, they'll treat you that way in return. Never said that. Why? Because that would fly in the face of his whole message and his whole ministry, his whole mission in the world, which was one of, I'm coming to love. I'm pouring out my love. I'm coming to give. I'm coming to serve. And never did he expect, and rarely did he get, any of that kindness returned to him. Why would it be any different for us? Instead of a collectible, the golden rule is gospel currency. To be invested, to be spent. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, with or without any possibility of getting anything in return. It eliminates the manipulative aspect of that, doesn't it? Just cuts it out. I'm not going to be nice to Bailey or Jonathan or Sarah or anybody just because I want them to be nice to me. I'm not going to be nice and be punctual and bring donuts to work just because I want that promotion. I'm going to do it because Jesus was kind. Jesus was a servant. Jesus gave of himself, and I want to be like him. Jesus did all those things, and all he got was killed in return. And he's called me to be like him. So I'm going to. And I'm going to pray that the gospel will shine out of that life of servanthood, out of that kind of giving, out of that kind of living. The next couple of verses kind of cut to the core. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. That's that wide, easy way of destruction. Cruise control. Coasting spiritually. Most people in this world, that's the path that they're on. It's wide and it's easy. Not the way of salvation. It is a narrow way and it's hard. It's hard. Living the golden rule is hard. It's hard. Why do I call this a summary? Because look what it follows. It follows that teaching in 7:1. Don't judge, that you be not judged. With the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but don't notice the log that's in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when there's a telephone pole in your eye? You hypocrite. If we don't remember every one of Jesus' particular sayings, Jesus was a good teacher. Jesus knew how to make a good summary. He knew his disciples probably weren't going to remember all of these things. He knew those crowds weren't going to remember every one of his instructions. But he knew they would probably remember, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Not in order that they do that unto you, but do it because you're seeking to be like me. You're seeking to live like me. You're seeking to fulfill the law and the prophets the way I have come and am fulfilling the law and the prophets. It's hard. It's a narrow way. It's a narrow way. I knew the message would be a little short today. As we close and the praise team comes up to sing, I want to ask you, how can you turn the golden rule from a collectible that's maybe collecting dust in your mind that you occasionally blow off and dust off? How can we turn that into hard currency? I want you to think about some ways in your life, some relationships in your life that need the golden rule invested into them. Who in your life needs to be treated by you the way you'd hope to be treated by them? They may not presently be treating you the way you would like to be treated. and they may never treat you the way you'd like to be treated. But who can you treat the way you want to be treated? Is there someone that you're judging harshly, too harshly? You've passed judgment on this person. They have blown it. They have acknowledged that, maybe even. Maybe they haven't acknowledged it, but they have screwed up royally. And your judgment is heavy on them. What about grace? Have you considered grace towards that person? Wouldn't you? Had you really blown it towards them in some big way, what would you want from them? The hammer or the hand of forgiveness? This is how we gospel the world. This is how we show the grace of Christ in the world. Go out there and do it. Don't wait for people to treat you nice. See, this is another way people misunderstand the golden rule. Is they think that it's a, oh, well, if somebody treats me kindly, then I'll treat them with kindness. No. That's waiting. That's hesitating and waiting for the other person to take the first step. When the people that God and Jesus have called us to treat the way we want to be treated, they may not even be thinking about us. So we're going to miss opportunity after opportunity if that's our mindset. Well, when they treat me kindly, then I'll show them kindness. No, that's getting it backwards. Whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them. Do it. Don't wait. Don't sit back with arms folded. Well, let's see. Let's see if this works. I showed them some kindness. They said some mean things about me on Facebook, so I'm just gonna. And I didn't respond in an ugly way. Let's just see. Be initiators of goodness and of goodwill and of grace. Never, ever are the disciples of Jesus permitted to take the back seat and to let the world take the initiative. No. That's our job. And never, ever are we permitted to withhold grace and kindness and mercy from those who don't show it to us in return. We're called to give. You say, well, how can I just keep giving? How can I just keep giving? Do you see what Jesus said right before this? Ask and it will be given to you. Verse 7. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. If you're needing more grace to give to more people who are not returning your kindness, who are not reciprocating the golden rule back to you, ask. God has all the supply necessary for us to continue living like Jesus, for us to continue serving others like Jesus and showing His kindness to them. We don't know when. We don't know if they'll ever respond in kind. That's the Lord's business. But our job is to be like Him. Our job is to take the collectibles off the shelf, put them in our pocket, and then go spend them. The golden rule, chief among them. Let's do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And the Lord will put more gold in our pocket. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Jesus, we thank you for giving us the golden rule. It is real currency. It is not karma. and it's not a tool of manipulation. It is gospel currency. And when we spend, you supply. So let us spend, Lord. Let us not collect and curate all the little nice sayings of Jesus and just kind of pat each other on the back and say, well, you remember what Jesus said. No, Lord, help us to live it. Holy Spirit, we pray for your moving in us. If our arms are folded, if we're waiting, show us the sin of that. Help us to initiate grace, kindness, all the elements of the gospel life. Help us to show them to the world that people might come to know Jesus as their Savior, that they might see Him in us. And we pray, Lord, I pray that today, if there's any soul in this room within the sound of my voice who has not yet received the gift of salvation through Jesus by placing his or her trust in Him for the forgiveness of their sins, and who has not yet received the new birth that comes through that faith, that today would be the day, Lord. Let today be the day. Spirit, so move, so burden, so clamp your love and grace around that person's heart that they can no longer resist the truth of the gospel. Let them profess their faith in Jesus unto salvation. Let today be the happiest, most relieving, most joyous day of their life, the day that they found redemption in Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.